Good afternoon, my AOWs, and welcome back to a brand new episode. Today, I want to talk about how to talk to your doctor about menopause, or how to get your doctor to care about menopause, or how to get your doctor to prescribe hormone replacement therapy. It's a small part in my book, Unlock Your Menopause Type, that came out June 6th. I hope you are interested in reading it, got your copy, are going to grab a copy. But today I want to focus on how to give you some tips and tricks to really get straight to the root, getting exactly what you need, and getting on your way to thrive in midlife. Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. If you love the show, if it's made a big impact in your life, please leave a review or star on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. So today I want to talk about how to get the most juice out of your doctor when it comes to menopause. And yes, I'm really meaning hormone replacement therapy, since it's probably not a stretch to get your doctor to write you an SSRI or an antidepressant. And I mean that from a great place. I mean that from a great place of I am internal medicine board certified. And I spent the first 3 years of my attending career, when I was no longer in training, doing part-time as general internal medicine and part-time in my consultative menopause clinic in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. And I really want you to listen to this episode with some grace for your doctor, because that's actually going to be really important. And I actually think a lot of you do. But I also am going to come at this from the perspective of a doctor and tell you that, unfortunately, I think you already know this, but we're humans, just like we're all humans, and we're not experts at everything, and we're not always right. Now, clinicians, doctors are held to a higher standard because we do things that are seemingly more important, but both can be true at the same time. And so when it comes to talking to your doctor about a subject that they probably have very little information, background, education, or understanding on, I'm going to give you some of my tips and tricks on how best to approach it. If you're new here, I'm Dr. Heather Hirsch, and I now have a private telemedicine practice. I have a license in 8 states, and I would love to see you as a patient because then you won't need these tips and tricks. But if you're not in one of those 8 states, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that it is truly my mission to help you along your menopause journey. And while I don't think that there is one right answer, it's not that everyone must be on hormone replacement therapy. It's certainly the area where women have the most misinformation, and it's definitely the area where doctors have also the most information and are spreading that to patients, and the vicious cycle continues. So yes, I spend a fair amount of time in my content specifically on hormone replacement therapy. Now, if you can't take HRT, you have a history of gynecologic cancers, history of a clot, you're not a good candidate, or you simply don't want to take HRT, this is still a really great episode because it could apply to other things, like if you want to get tested for a certain rare condition, or if you want your doctor to really listen to you about this other thing or this other topic. I think you can pull a lot of tips and tricks from here, even if HRT is not exactly right for you. So I talk about this in my book, but actually it's like one page in my book of like how to talk to your doctor about menopause and how to talk to your doctor about HRT. The first thing that you're going to want to do is call the doctor's office and say you want a problem-focused visit. You do not want to talk to your doctor about this at your annual exam. Now, I posted about this on TikTok a long time ago, could have been over a year at this point. And when I made this TikTok, it was like tips and tricks on how to get your doctor to listen to you, which you know what I mean, but to to not just, a lot of times they come in with their agenda. And I know I'm an internist. And when I was busy internal medicine clinic, we had people breathing down our back. You have to see this many patients. You've got to do this many metrics. You've got to get all their vaccines. You've got to check their A1Cs. You've got to check their medications. You've got to refill their scripts. Like, we come in with an agenda that, like, listening to you should be high on the list, but right? Sometimes it's not. So to get your doctor to care, you really need to, or sorry, to get your doctor to listen, I shouldn't have said that, it's Freudian slip. You need to make a problem focus visit, because that way they won't come in with this long-winded agenda that they can barely get through in the 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, if goodness sake, that you have. Anyways, when I posted this on TikTok, everyone was like, who are you to say that we have all this time in the world to just go to our doctors a bunch of different times a year? My insurance won't cover a problem-focused visit. I do it because that's what it's supposed to be. Your annual is supposed to be where you ask your questions. I got a lot of whiplash, like very angry comments. And TikTok is the land that will do that for you. They will give you the angry comments. And, you know, since this is my podcast, this is a place to kind of say, you know, look, I'm just telling you, if you want to make sure you get your doctor who can give you undivided attention, you've got to have a problem-focused visit. And if that means you need to take off one other day of work to go, that's what you got to do. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, to be totally honest. Being female just means that we have more medical stuff that happens to us. We have more physiologic processes. We have more trauma. So we need more. But it's not that this is universal, that your doctor doesn't come in with an agenda for a man, but does for a woman. I think they do with both, especially I'm really leaning on your internal medicine doctor, and actually probably the same with your gynecologist. I truly believe, sorry to all my GYN colleagues out there, I love you so much, but I bet you can probably agree with me that if you're no longer of childbearing age, if your pap smears are normal and you don't need surgery, you really shouldn't be going to a gynecologist anymore. I'm going to tell you that your annual exam, when your gynecologist sees it on the list, is like, ugh, it's just something to quickly go in, you know, do your biannual, scrape your cervix, like get in, get out. Because they have so many complicated patients they need to set up for surgery. They have patients who are, you know, have complicated pregnancies or complicated postpartums and complicated post-op stuff, that an annual exam is a silly, silly, silly thing that your internal medicine doctor should do. And we don't need pap smears every single year. And the reason is because cervical cancer is caused by a virus. If you're not with new partners, you're probably not at high risk. And the likelihood of dying from cervical cancer in the United States is just very, very low for anyone who is of normal socioeconomic status and sees a doctor at least once in a while. Okay, that was my rant. But also gynecologists, super hurry. So you've got to make a problem visit, cannot be your annual exam. You might not also know this, but if your doctor's doing this correctly, if you ask a problem-focused question at your annual exam, you actually get charged more. Because your annual exam is actually not, listen, doctors didn't make this up. These are not the doctors making this up. This is one of the reasons I went into private practice, despite how difficult this torture was of not being able to provide as much access, but I still do things like my podcast and my YouTubes and my social media because I couldn't take care of people the way I wanted to. And you'll hear doctors say that all the time. We can't take care of patients the way that we want to. So because an annual exam is really meant to go through that checklist, if you actually say my knee hurts, that's actually another like ticket. And then we're also looking at your knee and examining your knee and maybe ordering x-rays for that. And so you might not feel that your insurance does. And again, that's another reason costs of healthcare continue to rise. Just FYI. I tell you. So you need to make a problem visit, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it pisses you off, whether it's fair. That's the only way to do it. Now, when you go into that problem-focused visit, I want you to be very organized. And to be organized, all you really need to do is sit down and answer the following questions for yourself. What are my top symptoms? What have I already tried? How long have these been going on for? How are they affecting my quality of life? And what do I want to what is my agenda? What do I want to talk to my doctor about? And it might be hormone replacement therapy. That might be why you're listening to this whole entire episode, right? So I want you to think, okay, Heather, what are my top symptoms? I'm very, very irritable. It's right before my period. Then it gets better. But at the same time, I'm having vaginal dryness and I'm having low libido that's affecting my marriage and I'm having hot flashes. And it could be or could we not be making this up. Okay, so now you've already really said out loud, first to you, then you're going to either write it down or put it on your phone or whatever you need to do. These are my symptoms. Irritability, when before my period, hot flashes all the time. How many am I having a night? One or two? How is it affecting my quality of life? It's affecting my marriage and it's affecting my work because I'm waking up once or twice because I'm not sleeping. Okay, I am making this up, but you know, use that to kind of help guide you. What are the top symptoms? How long have they been going on for? This has been going on for 6 months. The reason this is helpful for a clinician is because they're trying to do a calculation of like, how bad is this problem? It's not to say that clinicians are going to say, oh, it's only been going on for like a week or two. Like, okay, but they're more prone to do that because also common things happen commonly and you could commonly just be irritated. You could commonly just be tired. Those are normal things. But when you say this is the time frame, 6 months, 3 months, 2 years, they're like, oh, that's been some time. It helps to contextualize for the clinician, for your clinician, how long this has been a problem. Okay, so what are the top symptoms? Be crystal clear. The reason I want you to be crystal clear is I don't want you to give them any wiggle room to deviate. Hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, irritability. Especially if you're going in for a focus visit and it's menopause related, try to keep it to the high level things. You know, yes, maybe there's joint aches and pains. Yes, there's ringing in the ear. Yes, there's 5 pounds of weight. I'm going to tell you what, keep weight out, but I'm going to tell you that at the end because they're going to very easily latch onto that and try and treat that when you want to be treated with HRT. So make it so that it's easy. Make it so that it's easy. Make it so that it's easy. Come in prepared. I've been having these symptoms. They've been lasting this long. It's been affecting my quality of life in these ways. I also want you to list for your doctor before he or she even asks what you've already tried, because they're going to ask you, have you tried this over the counter? Have you tried the sleeping aid? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried changing? They're going to ask you about changing your diet, changing your exercise, meditating, blah, 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 blah. Tell them you've tried it all. Make it up, but try it a little bit, but try. Tell them what you have tried. Because I'm setting up this episode for you as if you're talking to a doctor who you know knows nothing about HRT. I have tried over-the-counter Ambrin. I have tried meditating. I have been listening to Dr. Hirsch's podcasts and I have been adding in this, this, and that. Tell them what you have tried. That way they're not going to waste the time asking you what you've tried. I do this with my patients in my office. And this is actually a little bit reversed. I'm actually trying not to waste your time because I want to say, have you tried anything for anxiety before? Have you tried anything for your weight before? And they'll say, oh yeah, I've tried sertraline. Oh, I didn't like that. I gained a bunch of weight. I felt like a zombie. Oh, I tried Wellbutrin, made my ears ring. So great. I've actually done that for you. Now I'm not going to waste your time saying like, oh, I have this great idea. There's this medication. Spend 5 minutes talking about it for my patients to say, oh, Zoloft, tried that. Hated it. No thanks, doc. So again, I know I'm being silly, but this is so, so, so crucial because I really think this will work. Go in prepared because at this point, it's a chess game. You're locking them in. They don't have many moves to make. And what is the move they want to make? If you are asking about menopause, if you are asking about HRT and they don't know the answers, they haven't been taught anything, they want to skirt as far away from the issue as they can. So they want to focus on your mood. They want to focus on your weight. They want to focus on joint aches and pains. They want to order some x-rays for your knees. You don't want that. You want hormone replacement therapy because you've been listening to Dr. Hirsch. You've been listening to my colleagues. You think you're a good candidate. You know you're a good candidate. And so you really want to lock them in. I've been having hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, irritability. It's been going on this long. It's affecting my life in this ways. I've already tried X, Y, and Z. Okay. Here's what you don't do. Here's what you don't do. And then I'm going to tell you what you do because you're setting up the pitch, right? You want HRT. You've already got them locked in. You've got a 20-minute visit. In the first 5 minutes, you've already set the stage. I am having menopausal symptoms. If you're having perimenopausal symptoms, same thing. You've set the stage, but tell them what your periods are doing. What I don't want you to do next is launch into a long monologue of the papers that you've read, and don't bring them with you and don't highlight them. I know that that probably hurts you, and it's okay if you've already done this or you plan to do this or you still want to do it, do it. It's just not going to be as effective. The reason it's not going to be as effective is because this is a little bit of, do you guys love that I'm trying to tell you how to psychologically break down your doctor? That's essentially what I'm doing this episode. How to psychologically break down your doctor. When you do that, you're going to give them the upper hand, because then they're going to say, oh, well, isn't this so sweet? Isn't this so cute? You don't know how to read these studies. Even if you do, doesn't matter. And they're going to tell you all about the other studies that they've read. So you're playing fire with fire. Don't do that. Okay. Don't bring in your papers. Don't have them highlighted. I mean, you can bring in my book if you have an extra copy for them and leave it with a bow on it. But don't bring in those resources, because it is psychologically, it's not going to put you ahead above. It's not going to put you a seat above. Okay. So you've already walked in, you set the stage, you've got a problem visit. Now you have 15 minutes left. You've already told them exactly what happened. No one's asked you. You haven't had to elaborate. They're not going off on a tangent. You've kept them focused because you've gone in and done your spiel, okay? Then instead of pulling out the papers on all the highlighted and the NAMS position statement, say, I know that I am a good candidate for FDA approved hormone therapy, and I am thinking about possibly using a transdermal estrogen and an oral progesterone because I have a uterus. Bam, mic drop. Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Now, this isn't always the easy part where you know exactly what you need or exactly what dose or exactly what route. But if you're listening to this show, if you're new and this is the first episode you've landed on, I have billions of resources for you guys. Tons. I have a masterclass where I actually teach you step by step exactly what you need. And in my masterclass, my patients walk in and they say, I need this, this, this. And they've been super successful. So this is a very, very condensed overview of how to do that. If you don't want in my masterclass, you can try to piece some of this together. But, you know, if you're not exactly sure, say, I am a good candidate for FDA approved hormone replacement therapy. And I know its primary indication is this symptom that I have, this symptom that I have, and this symptom that I have. Then you not only have the upper hand, but then your doctor cannot back out, because they're not trying to skirt around it. They aren't trying to pick out another problem. They aren't trying to pull out an SSRI. They're like, okay, this is what she wants. Okay, that is what I want you to do. That's why I don't want you to come in with the papers. You can still have them. You can have them in your bag. You can, you know, but I don't want you to use them in this moment in time. All right, so next, what your doctor is going to do is, you know, maybe ask you if, you know, about your family history. This is what we do a lot in my masterclass. There is no family history that is a contraindication to hormone replacement therapy. There is none. You are not your family member. There is no family history that is a contraindication to HRT. Sorry about my Apple Watch. If you are suffering, we know the benefits of HRT. I have tons of podcasts on this. You can launch into a small but simple monologue of, if they pull out some kind of contraindication, you can say, you know, hey, Dr. So-and-so, I want to ask you in a very friendly manner here. How much education did you get on menopause and hormone replacement therapy? Just leave it kind of open-ended. If you're kind of feeling like they're trying to push back and say you're not a candidate, but you know that you are, you think that you are because you've been listening to my show or binge watching all my YouTubes. And at that point's when they're probably going to say very little. And what you want to do is then sympathize and say, I'm so sorry. I know this isn't your fault. And I know I'm psychologically breaking down your doctor for you. And there's so much more that's come out since the release of the WHI. And that's when you can kind of, if you want, launch into a little bit of like, I follow this doctor, or I follow this doctor, or I've read this book. Don't pull them out yet. Don't pull them out. And say, you know, I know that I'm a good candidate. I'm advocating for my health. This is something that is FDA approved. And, you know, if you don't offer this to me, I will go find another doctor who will. And I would prefer you to be my doctor and you to be my partner than to go find another doctor, or to go the route of compounded hormone therapies or unapproved hormone therapies, because that's what a lot of women are doing because our doctors are not educated. Mic drop again. Mic drop again. And so if this all doesn't work at this point, that's when you just, again, you know, use that to sort of say, I would like, you know, I'm going to see a NAMS clinician. Would you work with that NAMS clinician? Could you refer me to somebody who is a menopause specialist or is a menopause expert? So those are my tips and tricks. In broad overview, make a problem-focused visit, whether it's your gynecologist or your internist. Come in with those five things that you can say in 5 minutes. Either you write it down, you literally read it out loud, you put it on your phone, or if you've got it memorized. You need to know your top symptoms, how long they've been going on for, how they're affecting your quality of life, what things you have tried in the past, and then what you think you want to do about it. Interestingly, when I see my patients, and you guys might think this is so funny, and if you're a patient of mine or if you've been a patient of mine in the past, you probably know that I do this. I use a lot of shared decision making, which is so much fun because most of my patients, they know when they come to me, it's a safe and happy and warm place. I'm very confident and comfortable with prescribing hormone replacement therapy. And I actually will give them a bunch of different regimens to try. Like, I'll take it a step above and I'll say, do you want this dose? Do you want that dose? Do you want to do it vaginally? Do you want to do it orally? You know, but for you, you know, try to come in with what do you think you need? I always ask my patients, do you have a guess as to what might help you? And the reason I do that is because I'm trying to meet my patients halfway. I'll say, have you heard me talk about Prometrium? Have you heard me talk about metformin? You know, I want to meet you where you are because I know in 2023, my patients are listening to me on social media, listening to other people on social media, reading, advocating for themselves. And I want to know where you are. So for you, I want you to know those five things. What is it that you want? Don't dance around it. Don't forget, you know, things that you've tried. You can also pull out, like, if you've been on SSRIs when you were in college or birth control pills in college, or if you've been on these medications before but not recently, pull those too. Oh, you know, Dr. So-and-so, I was on sertraline before. I don't want that. I don't want an SSRI to treat my hot flashes because that's not the first line. HRT is the first line. Okay. Then you state explicitly what you want. I want HRT. I want FDA approved hormone replacement therapy because I am a good candidate. And then meet them with a little bit of sympathy if they're trying to still get out of it by trying to pull some contraindication that you don't think you have. Now, this is, of course, where it's hard because you may know a little bit more than your doctor, or you may feel really uncomfortable pushing back on your doctor, probably not as much. But that's where you can ask them and leave it open-ended. How much training did you get on menopause and how much training did you get on hormone replacement therapy? They will tell you at that moment because they're backed into a corner, not very much, right? And to which you can then say, well, NAMS, the Menopause Society, recommends HRT as first line for women with no known contraindications. I'm going to benefit. I would like to do a 6-week trial. I would like to use shared decision-making with you unless I find another doctor or I'm going to be left with unhealthier options. Okay. That's what I want you to do. You can always seek a second opinion, or see another doctor. That is absolutely fine. And please feel free to do so. There may be patients who come to see me and then want a second opinion after seeing me. And that is fine with me. My job is for all patients to find what fits them. And the only other thing that I want to say and say out loud is that not all NAMS doctors are the same. There are NAMS doctors who do not follow the NAMS guidelines. I have heard my patients tell me NAMS clinicians being dismissive, being wrong, not prescribing menopausal hormone therapy if they're not yet fully menopausal. There are definitely NAMS doctors that do pellets. There are NAMS doctors that do compounded. You know, in the United States, physicians have autonomy, particularly when they're in private practice, right? And they're prescribing pellets and compounded HRT. I guess this is where I should also say, you know, don't let your doctor prescribe you compounded or pellets. And, you know, if somebody does, you really want to ask them, what is the FDA approved options that you can discuss with me? I had a patient last week down in Florida who said, I just can't find literally anyone in Florida who will prescribe me FDA approved HRT. And that's what I want. I don't want this compounded stuff. I've heard you say it's unregulated. I've heard you say, I don't know if there are safety benefits. And it just saddens me. It saddens my heart that this is the current culture that we're in. Again, I have a license in Florida, California, New York, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Ohio, Alaska. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to know if I'm going to get more states to see patients, this is what I'm waiting for. There's something called the IMLCC, and the IMLCC gives opens the door for residents in those states to get access to 40 states. And New York State, where I currently reside, is, I guess, on the waiting list. Like, the bill has been passed, and now we're waiting for the sky to part and everyone to bestow us with this new regulatory thing that New York State can be a part of the IMLCC, and that will give me almost all 40 states. I will have 48 at that point, so there will be only two left. I'm not sure which ones, but that's what I am waiting for. But I have so many amazing resources: my show, my podcast, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. I am here to support you. My masterclass is also great. I mean, it is wonderful. If you really want to just, you know, stop searching on the internet, stop spending hours spinning your wheels, I really can't recommend this masterclass enough. It's just been so wonderful for all the women that are in it, to then have like all of this and feel really, really ready to get what they need with their doctor. Thank you guys so much for listening in. I love you guys so much. I'm so appreciative and grateful every day for my incredible community and my AOWs. I'll see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye, everyone. If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.